for 12 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
And we're privileged and happy to have you.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
All right. Welcome, Arizona, to Rosie on the House. A Saturday morning radio program aimed at answering any question you might have about your house, home, castle, or cabin. You can join the conversation. Feel free. Don't be bashful. Call us at 1-888-767-4348. We literally every week take calls of people that have been listening for years, and the first thing they say is, "I've never called." Well, I'm not going to bite your head off. I'm not going to be rude or mean. I'm just going to try and help you through whatever it is you're trying to tackle. And if you're a regular subscriber to our newsletter that we send out every week, you know you're given a tip as to what we're going to cover each Saturday. And one of the things we're covering today are the most asked questions that were given on the show and on our website all year long. John J. Harper was here last hour, and Romy and he were visiting about the plant questions that we most often get all year long. Well, one of the most popular questions we got in the topic of remodeling is a lot of people, I think because they've been locked down in their house and the house may feel a little bit smaller than it used to feel when you only live there 12 hours a day. Now that you live there 24 hours a day, maybe the walls have kind of grown in on you a little bit and you're feeling a little bit tighter. So we met a lot of people this year who wanted to take that middle wall down for homes that were built in the 70s and the 80s and before. You know, when you want to take that wall down and create big open space, from the minute you walk in the door, you can see all the way to the back exterior wall. Not a couple of rooms that you have to walk through doors or maybe even a hall to see them all, but one big, large open space. Now, in our article, How to Remove a Load-Bearing Wall, we've got great pictures. What you'll do is you'll go to our blog, Let's Do Some Remodeling, Can I Remove That Wall? And it'll give you an introduction to the topic, and then it'll give you an opportunity to read the full article. Click on that full article, and we have literally created a photograph, step-by-step guide on what you need to look for to determine whether that load-bearing wall is load-bearing or not. Chances are, if it was built prior to about 1983 or 84, there's a very high probability that wall down the middle of your house is in fact bearing. What you need to do is get up in the attic and take a look. The wood members that support your roof are called rafters. And then you have the wood members that support the ceiling to your house. And those are called joists, okay? If those joists lap over each other on top of that wall, and there are support posts running from there, from where that wall is, up to the rafters above, it is absolutely, definitely a load-bearing wall. Now, in the 80s, we quit traditional framing attics and roofs, and we started using trusses, and there's no bearing points anywhere inside the house, generally speaking. So we have to determine, are you traditional framed or are you trussed? The breaking point for that is the early 80s, okay? Once we determine that it is a load-bearing wall, the complications are many that you need to know about. You will need to contact an engineer. You will need to have the beam that you're going to put up there sized appropriately. Now, when we built these houses back in the 70s, and we knew that center wall was going to be carrying a little bit extra weight than the rest of this floor, we would chalk a line down the middle before the concrete truck got there, and we'd get a couple guys with number two shovels, and we'd dig a trench. And so when the concrete poured down that middle wall, there'd be a little 8-inch deep, 12-inch wide trough of concrete, giving the slab a little bit more of extra support. Now, if we're going to take that load-bearing wall out, put a beam in there, all of that load that was being carried by the whole wall is now being carried by two points at each end of the beam. And that little turned-down footing that we poured in there is completely insufficient. So it shows, the article actually shows how you determine it, how you saw cut it, how you put in the rebar, how you mask and protect so that the rest of the house doesn't get all full of dust and dirt and sawdust. And then it shows you pictures of projects before and after. So removing that load-bearing wall, I think as a consequence of the COVID pandemic, became a very, very popular project last year. You can read all about it at rosieonthehouse.com. Let's go to the phones. We've got callers calling in at 1-888-767-4348. And David has a question. Good morning, David.
Yeah, hi. I have a place up in Heber.
Oh boy.
And last week I had 46 tons of gravel dumped on my driveway. And it looks great, it's fine, except it's about 3 to 4 inches deep, and it's real soft, and I need to know how I can compact it, because my car darn near gets stuck in the gravel.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, you know now how we would ordinarily do that, is we'd go in and we'd lay an inch and a half or two, let you roll on it for about 6 months, and we'd come back with another inch and a half or two and top it off. But they make rollers, compressors, they're like little mini riding lawnmowers with big wheels on either end that are filled with water, and they weigh an extreme amount of weight, and you just roll back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The other, whoever brought you that rock should know someone, some excavator in the area that can come out and roll that out for you. But that other than just dealing with it in your vehicle, that could get a little hazardous if we get any amount of snow or moisture in the spring when everything really gets soggy. But they make equipment just for doing that. Contact the company that delivered the gravel and see if they can't recommend an excavator to roll it out for you.
Okay, I'll do it. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Dave. I understand there were some little snow frostings around the Heber area so far. So.
And that reminded me, I had this saved for Jay, and I just missed it in the last hour. If you have property in the mountains, or anyone listening on CAF out of Flagstaff, if you have a 10-acre or more parcel where the primary tree is ponderosa pine and you're getting hit by bark beetle, you can apply for the Western Bark Beetle Grant Initiative. The deadline is December 31st, and anywhere from $10,000 to $85,000 to help battle against the bark beetles. You go to Arizona Department of Forestry and Fire Management, and you can find the link to fill out the application there. If you got 10 acres or more where the primary tree is plant is ponderosa pine and you're fighting bark beetles, you got till the end of the year to apply for the grant to help battle those buggers.
And on the topic of grants, many municipalities are issuing you rebates and grants for eliminating summer lawns. And I know, as a citizen, as a resident of Scottsdale, Scottsdale is offering a $1 a square foot for every warm weather summer grass you eliminate, up to 5,000 square feet. And I think that's just the push I needed to turn the back half of my lawn into shade trees and maybe a bigger dog kennel. But I'm going to make my application. The application deadline's into January. $1 a square foot for every square foot of warm summer grass you eliminate in your yard. And Scottsdale's not the only one offering this. So if that's something you're contemplating doing, get in touch with your cities.
And there are, I know some of them do have like parameters around what you can use to replace it with.
Yes.
You know, if you replace it, an artificial turf doesn't always apply for that rebate. So look into what you have to replace it with to apply for that. But I'll give you a little tip. You said $1 per square foot. We were in Las Vegas for a week earlier this month for the rodeo finals. And it's very interesting. You know, we've been to Tulsa. We've been to Des Moines. And we make notes about what's different. Each little city seems to have its own little thing. And you drive around, and the billboards and the lights all say one messaging. You turn on the radio and the ads are all about rehab centers and water savings. And which none of those you see on the billboards anywhere while you're driving around. My point is, Vegas is offering $3 a square foot to transition your lawn. So you might you might hold out a little bit and get a little more on your transition if you wait another summer or two.
Yeah, Vegas needs to be offering that kind of incentives. Nevada's in a much worse water situation than Arizona. Arizona's actually in pretty good shape.
You know, the CAP is about a third of our water supply. The Colorado River system is 90% of Las Vegas's water supply. So they've got a real initiative there to not use water outside, especially on lawns.